Hello, world, and thank you for joining another episode of Into the Blue Zone. I am so fortunately lucky to have legendary chiropractor who studied chiropractic, Howard Short. Howard, thank you so much for joining the show and taking precious time out of your Sunday to enlighten the audience, spread your knowledge about self-care, because self-care is our topic today. And I just really appreciate playing pickleball earlier with you. I wish I didn't blow it. We played Adam Robinson and Nick, and I blew it. We had them. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Howard, and I'm sure the guests are going to love it.
Thanks, Skylar. I'm excited to be here. A little gassed after all those games we played in the heat. Man, it's been hot, but it's so great to be here. I wore blue just so you know, I wore blue the whole game. I wanted you to know, but for the red zone, no, this is the game changer. And so I'm just thankful to be here and glad you're doing this podcast. I think it has great meaning, great purpose.
Awesome. Very nice of you to say that. It's been fun. I think this is episode 10. I have 7 published. So for those who are listening, enjoy the sponsorship-free, unedited, totally organic and authentic version. We're trying to keep it that way. So if you enjoy the show and you want to Venmo at Skylar Heyman, again, just trying to keep it sponsorship free because I hate commercials and commercials suck. So right now we're going for an hour, however long we end up going. When we lose some steam, that's when I'll let you go back to your wife, who is also an awesome chef, right? On Instagram, organic Chef Heather.
Organic Chef Heather, yes. Organic _ Chef Heather. And she's been doing that for a number of years and joined me in the practice many, many years ago. So we've been a team. And in fact, we call our office Team Chiropractic.
So, and how long have you been doing chiropractic? And kind of what's your background, your credentials, and your studies as you've kind of become more experienced in the world of natural healing?
Well, it's a lot of questions within a question, because I started in Canada. I'm Canadian. Came down. I had relatives in the States here in California that used to visit Winnipeg and said, you would just love it down there. And so I dreamt about what it would be like to live in California. But going to chiropractic college was not something most kids, certainly in the 70s, grew up with thinking about. I had never been to a chiropractor until I myself was about 16. But my initial probably desire was to be involved with healthcare of some sort. My dad's pretty much a surgeon and retired, and my mom's a RN. And my experience with health was drugs in and guts out, and I had numerous experiences with positive in the medical field, but my desire to be a medical doctor was not as strong as my desire to be involved with things natural. I was the kid who said, really, an aspirin? Really? That's not fixing the problem. And so one thing led to another. I had an incident in high school basketball where my neck locked up completely. It was like a torticollis, they call it, where the neck just, you go into complete spasm. The coach said, you know, you should go across to the way. And in Winnipeg, we had the fortune of having a Pan American Games back in the 70s. And so what happened was we had a pool right next door to us that still to this day, it's enormous. It's Olympic size. It's beautiful. And we would go over there swimming for our swimming classes, and really very lucky to have that back in the day. But I went over to the physical therapist with my torticollis, and lo and behold, he did what they call a manipulation. We don't call it that. Our chiropractors don't call it manipulation. That sounds very manipulative, doesn't it? But we had a great experience, or I had a great experience, where I could move my neck again instantly. The pain was still there. And he said, I'll see you tomorrow. And I was like, really? Like, what just happened? I heard all these noises in my neck, and it was a little scary. The guy was a huge guy. He was bald, and he looked like Kojak at the time. And I looked up to him, I said, oh my gosh, I can move. What did you just do? And he says, well, I kind of learned that from a chiropractor. So, you know, at the time, I guess you could say I was still pre-med. even though I had this mindset of, wow, that was really amazing. I got better. I went back and played basketball that week and season and whatnot. But even into pre and undergrad and pre-medical studies, if you will, I sat in a class with my girlfriend at the time, and she said, you'd be a great chiropractor. I said, how do you even know what a chiropractor is? She goes, I don't know. I just got a sense of it. So, you know, everybody in the class, when they asked who wants to be a medical doctor, 300 people put up their hand. And I was like, this has never been me to follow the herd anyway. So I pulled my hand down and I said, you know what? Maybe she's right. Maybe I ought to look more into this. So one thing led to another. And I went to another chiropractor, a real chiropractor this time, who actually had a degree. And I had something going on with my knee. And he did muscle testing. And he gave me a weird exercise to do. And my knee got better. No drugs, no surgery, nothing like that. And I was just like, wow, that was a long time ago when I think back to that now. And that guy changed my life. I mean, he pretty much said, I said, well, hang on. What is this thing called chiropractic? And he had his own way of practicing, as many chiropractors do. There's the science, the art, and the philosophy. And what was interesting at the time was that I didn't know any of it. And I was like an open slate, except that I knew he was a doctor. It was very important. He's a doctor. But not only that, he got me better. And he actually encouraged me. He said, you should look into this. So I did. And I realized that not only did he have a different philosophy, but I don't practice the way he does now, the way he did then. But it really excited me that there was another possibility, a doctor who doesn't give drugs. In fact, the Thomas Edison quote, the doctor of the future will not prescribe medicine, but instead will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, nutrition, and the cause and prevention of disease. That I've had on my wall for many years, but also just that inspired me more than anything. So my first thing was I had a result. I would say 95% of the chiropractors who go into chiropractic have had a personal experience with an adjustment that changed their life. It was, as my shirt says, the game changer, and that's not why I wore the shirt, but it just so happens to fit. So for me, the game changer was that, wow, I had all the prerequisites that medicine had. So I went directly into chiropractic college after 2 years of undergrad. Now, most of the people had degrees. They had BSCs. There were even some, my roommate at the time was a medical doctor from Switzerland. I mean, he became a medical doctor first and then saw the light and said, no, I want to be a chiropractor. In fact, I think in Switzerland, even at the time, that was even required. I don't think it is now. But there was a lot of people who were physical therapists that went into chiropractic. There was people who were nurses, other kind of fields that had previously just said, wow, this is something I really want to pursue. So I went to Toronto for my chiropractic college. It was do not pass go. It was straight from Winnipeg to Toronto. And, there was, probably 30% of my class was from Quebec. And from all over Canada. So I had 150 people in my class. And I graduated with a DC, Doctor of Chiropractic, in 1984. Is that before you were born, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
6 years.
It's always, that was one of the things I was thinking about today all the way here. I was like, I'm getting interviewed. Good for you starting a podcast. I'm getting interviewed by a guy who started a podcast and he was born after I graduated. So isn't that amazing? When were you born?
1990.
Wow. You could be one of my kids. You could be one of my kids.
Totally could be. Totally.
Yeah. My kids, I don't think my kids want to interview me. They've interviewed me enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I did one with my dad. It was fun.
Okay.
I'm sure you know.
Well, maybe it will.
And then you have, how long were you at chiropractic school?
So I was at chiropractic college for 4 years. And nowadays they go straight through with the semester system. They pretty much get done in about three and a half. I think 3.5 is with the semester system, but we went straight through and did breaks in the summer. So it ended up being a 4-year course. And the fourth year, your internship is when you see all the people and you get to put your hands on people like a real clinic.
Do they talk about nutrition? Because I know traditional med schools, it's like one credit. It's like one or two classes throughout your 4 years with a nutrition focus. So I always think like our doctors need to be more trained in nutrition. what was kind of similar or more, less?
Great awareness, great question. So our curriculum had at least 100 plus hours of nutrition. At the time, we used to say that medicine had about 10 or 11, if that. So nutrition was not a strong component of the medical program. And whenever we would talk about nutrition, even to this day, any doctors that I've been to in the last several years, they don't really still to this day put much credence to, you know, like the original doctors, Hippocrates, let your food be your medicine. So, yes, we had a lot of training in nutrition, but I think the majority of my nutrition training came after graduation and got many additional seminars, etc.
Just to clarify, you said 100 hours. Is that a lot? That seems like a lot.
It's not a lot.
Okay,
it's not it comes to what there is to know in the world of nutrition, which is always, we're always learning and always changing. And I can think of numerous people that just, they're ongoing students. And I am one of those students. I really study nutrition on my own as much as I can. I don't claim to be a master of any one section of nutrition, though.
And then how long have you been practicing chiropractic?
So to immigrate from Canada, I came to Scottsdale, Arizona, and took the place of a chiropractor who, she was pregnant at the time, and I covered her practice and was able to apply for, you know, my residency and got my green card. And it was really exciting times. We got married in Phoenix in 1986, Heather and I. And also, you know, practicing in Phoenix was an experience. Those were the days where we saw a lot of people. The practices in Phoenix at the time were just really volume oriented. They, you know, hundreds of people would come through the clinic every week, and that was me and the you know, the husband who hired me. But I worked there a year and a half, got my card, and then, you know, without having any established roots in Phoenix, we looked to California, and pretty much haven't left since 1986. I covered a practice here in Solana Beach, as it turns out, and we're close to the beach right now. And then, you know, started my own practice after covering a lot of other doctors that were on vacation, and worked in La Jolla for about 5 years and Mira Mesa for about, well, a couple of decades. So I've been doing it a long time. I think it's 37 years I've been adjusting people.
Wow.
And I think it's in the millions of adjustments, if that's even hard, you know, it's hard to even, you know, quantify that. But I know because of the volume of visits that we did and the number of adjustments on each person that it's really a high number. But I think it's always something that, well, they say, what, 10,000 hours to master something? There's got to be a few hundred thousand hours involved in this. So it's, I don't take it for granted, though. It's truly an art, a science, and a philosophy.
Yeah, and what I love about you that I think distinguishes yourself from other chiropractors. And for those listening, I'm always pausing before I say chiropractic, which is the study of
chiropractic.
Chiropractic. And then you are a chiropractor.
Chiropractor. It sounds like you know, it must be an American thing. Chiropractor. Well, it depends where you're from, right? Chiropractic.
Yeah. I say
chiropractor.
I say orange.
Orange.
Instead of orange.
Yeah.
I used to say Mario instead of Mario. So,
but you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because when I applied to go to chiropractic college in Winnipeg, Canada, one of our very good family friends at the time was the head of pediatrics at one of the hospitals in Winnipeg. And I wanted his, you know, blessing and also his endorsement because you had to have a letter of reference. And he gave me a letter of reference, but when I asked him, I said, I'm applying to chiropractic. And, you know, he was...
Sounds right.
It sounded good to me.
I'll go with it.
And he said, I don't think that's a word. I said, what do you mean? I know what I'm applying to. He says, do you? So clearly I didn't. And at the time, you know, oops. At the time, I mean, I had been inspired by some of the chiropractors who were taking care of some of the greatest athletes in the world. And that was really exciting for me to think that, wow, you know, this really could be something. And, you know, it was really kind of in the early stages when chiropractic was still really still taking off. So anyway, he corrected me He gave me the letter of reference, but it was interesting because I always thought that that was a word, and it wasn't. So there's chiropractor and chiropractic. Now, unless you're French, which a third of my classmates were chiropractien, chiropractique, you know. So anyway, for all my French listeners, there's probably none listening right now.
Did you grow up a hockey fan in Canada?
Oh, for sure. So the Winnipeg Jets were and still are a big deal. I was fortunate to see Gretzky in the days, and it was, you know, the biggest line ever in hockey was Bobby Hull, Anders Hedberg, and Ulf Nilsson. Oh, all of which were golfers at a club that I was fortunate to play at. So, and they had some really good fan bases in Winnipeg. So it was just a great place to grow up in that respect. And Winnipeg itself is a great city. So,
and just wrapping up the introduction here, because it's one hell of an intro. You have two kids.
Yes.
And you just got a granddaughter. So congratulations on living long enough to be a grandfather.
Thank you.
Welcome to the club of senior citizenship and discounts, right?
Yeah. And well, pickleball, I don't think the pickleball prime is till you're 80. So today I sort of feel like it with all you young guys. But yeah, so it was really great to become a grand. They don't call me grandpa. They don't call me grandy.
What's the term?
They call me Pops.
Simple.
So, yeah. So, but it was truly an honor. And my daughter and my son were both born at home. It's not necessarily a chiropractic thing to be born at home, but, you know, we're very much inspired by some really great chiropractors in our lives. You know, we did a lot of trainings and went to a lot of seminars, but my wife embraced the philosophy that, you know, all things natural as much as possible. So our kids were born at home. And, you know, my daughter saw that if she could be born that way, she wanted her daughter to be born that way. And that's how it turned out in Toronto, in a 2-bedroom apartment. And we were fortunate to be really close by. So,
and that was like a few months ago? What are we, in
August? 10 weeks. 10 weeks.
August of 2021?
June 1st. She was born June 1st.
June 1st.
June, July.
Yeah. And we're August 2021.
Yeah, like 12 weeks coming up.
And then let's just kind of backtrack a little bit. So it was great intro, and you clearly have a plethora of experience with natural healing. We met playing pickleball.
Correct.
And for those who haven't played pickleball, go online, Google it, search it out, and find a pickleball community or a court and just try the sport. And you'll probably enjoy it. If you hate it, move on. And it's just the fastest growing sport in America, I think. That's what my dad always says. And probably because it's three generations. You could play, you know, with your grandparents, your parents, and your kids. And super fun. Anyways, at Bobby Riggs Pickleball Tennis Club in off of Santa Fe Drive in North County, San Diego, I was getting into pickleball, found that place, went and played. And I think you had a small office in Bobby Riggs, and you came out and played, and I think it was like my second or third time playing there. And I could tell everyone's super into it. They charge, they have open play tournaments. So I was kind of sizing myself up, and I'll be honest, I have trouble competing sometimes because I'm always teaching competition and competitiveness as a volleyball coach. And sometimes it's nice, like, not to try. So I went in there like trying pretty hard, and I felt good about my game. And that's where we met. And it was super fun to meet someone you could connect with. Sometimes the 2-on-2 sports like beach volleyball or pickleball or badminton. If everyone's playing badminton out there, you know, it's the partnership and the dynamic is super important to whether or not you enjoy the game. It's kind of like golf. Like the other day we went and played golf, and last week, you were kind enough to invite me out to Fairbanks Ranch Country Club, beautiful course in Del Mar in the valley. And we go out and play Twilight, and there's two people, a couple, that were below average and totally threw off our mojo. They were nice enough, though, after the first hole to let us just kind of go ahead of them and play because no one was in front of us, and it was like 4:30. 5 o'clock, we want to get all 18 holes in. It was my first time playing there. So obviously you're like, wow, we got to play the entire course. And it's like the dynamic of us on the pickleball court was super fun, enough where we stayed in contact, enough where now you're nice enough to come on my show. I pay you to get adjusted to make me feel good, and then network each other, network ourselves, and help each other grow. And a lot of that spreading the good vibrations is what I'm learning. Networking is not just for yourself, it's for the other people. And my most recent podcast with the founder of Nixon, Andy Latz, we talked about how you could be happy for someone else's success, whether it's you hitting a good drive or smashing the pickleball or having a good play, like being just as happy that you did it or that someone else did it, kind of aligning those. And today we played and you played great. I thought I didn't really get it going. It was the first time I played for a few months and after COVID. So just getting the touch back and all that stuff. So that's how we met at Bobby Riggs Tennis and Pickleball Club. And we've played pickleball a handful of times at our friend, new friend, Adam Robinson's. And what a beautiful court, huh? Yeah. The guy's commercial real estate, has an awesome pickleball court in his backyard. And we're lucky enough to go over there and spend our Sunday afternoons playing on a private court instead of at Bobby Riggs. So I feel like we upgraded our pickleball game just with the ambiance and the type of people around us. Very good people.
So true. And I got to say, Skylar, just listening to you talk sparks so many things for me, from being happy about someone else's success to camaraderie to networking. I mean, you know, being on a podcast, this is my first time ever being on a podcast. I've listened to a lot of them, and I wouldn't have wanted to be on one that I didn't feel I could add value or where I believed in the product, so to speak. And, you know, a couple things that you brought up that I'd like to mention, you know, two is not just how we met, because how we met, because you mentioned I was doing a satellite office at the pickleball courts, was purely not a coincidence. But at the same time, I intended to be in a different environment than I had done the traditional office. I had the big office with the x-ray and the staff and all that. And as my career started to get to a new place, I realized that I was probably trying to follow everybody else's lead in the profession. And instead of just maybe just listening to myself.
Be yourself.
Yeah, just like you said, being authentic, being your authentic self. So as I downsized into a different location within Mira Mesa, I also projected out and walked into that facility at Bobby Riggs Paddle and Tennis, and walked up to the owner, Steve Dawson, and I said, "Steve, do you have any space here I could lease? I really love the game, but I also feel like I can contribute, and I'm not just interested in people's injuries. I'm interested in prevention of injury and performance. To me, that's one of the biggest things we have to offer." And he said, "We don't have any space, but we'll make some." So we put up a wall, we helped pay for it together, and lo and behold, I was leasing space at Bobby Riggs, which is, again, how we met. So I was gaining traction pretty significantly over the course of a few months, and then lockdown. And I said, "Steve, you know," he said, "you're going to have to see your people somewhere else." I said, "Well, actually, we're essential service. I could help you stay open. I'm not letting anybody in the building." They had already been open, protocol, lockdown, police came, shut them down. So I said, "Okay." Now, fortunately for me and my existing practice members, I already had established an office at home. So I continued to see people at home for the next year or so, until recently I just relocated to Del Mar and purchased a practice from a chiropractor who was actually the chiropractor for the U.S. Open in this last U.S. Open. And he had been in Del Mar for several years, and he was moving to Florida. So I said, that could be for me. And certainly it worked out that we are, I'm very, very happy to be in Del Mar and closer to you, to Leucadia, and closer to where all the things I love to do and hang out. So, yeah. So it, and it reminds me also, just, you know, if you do what you love and love what you do, you'll never work. You may have heard that. I mean, that it's probably been said way before I was around. But what I've noticed is really true. So a lot of chiropractors are trying to market their practices. They're trying to advertise. And I've done very little advertising. It's not that I couldn't. I have not seen it been as successful as doing what I love and loving what I do. And this is, again, how we met and how you came to me. And as a result of you coming to me, other people have as well. But I want to say also that, you know, the excitement of seeing someone else do well in life, whether it be in sports, in business, in just in their relationships or whatnot, that's a huge thing that we have such a competitive, egotistical society, and it just seems like there's so much competition. What I didn't tell you is I also grew up in Winnipeg, but for 2 years, my father went to postgraduate school in Indiana. And so I had a sense of what it was like to live in the States for 2 years. First year was brutal because I didn't have any friends. And at 9 years old, you leave your home and it's like, oh my gosh, leaving all my friends. What am I going to do there? But slowly and surely, I realized what it was like to be in America and what the competition, especially with sports. Basketball wasn't a thing in Winnipeg, and it's either sink or swim, especially in Indiana, right? Did you play basketball?
Yeah.
You did play basketball. Yeah. Okay, good. So, but in Indiana, I know back east, they play basketball too, but in Indiana, it's like hockey in Canada, it's religion. Right? Oh, yeah.
Hoosiers.
So I mean, I went to an ABA game. You know, I saw Dr. J play. I mean, that's how old I am. But anyway.
Lucky to have seen Dr.
Lucky
J.
Lucky to have seen Dr. He had an afro at the time.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I could throw it down as well as anyone ever.
Bobby Knight. I mean, all of that was just, I always was interested in sports. So, and that's not necessarily interesting. You know, maybe it is what led me to chiropractic, but the whole self-care thing, sports was just life. Life was sports for me. And finally, you know, having seen what that competitive life, I remember in elementary school, we had a game. I don't know if you had this dodgeball.
We played so much dodgeball.
Okay. So
up.
They line up all the balls in the middle of the court and then
you just try to
it was
beat the other person and catch it. It's great.
After school PE.
We played Friday
oh
dodgeball.
Oh, my God. So I learned what it was to be competitive. It was either you sink or swim. You get beaned. You get laced with that ball. And these guys at 10 years old, I'm talking about African-American guys, 6'1" at 10 years old. I was all of, you know, 5'3". You know, I had to figure this out quickly, you know, how to be the fast guy. But anyway, as it turns out, I learned what competition was, but I also saw the downside of that. I saw the downside of always having to win. I see it now more than ever. It's better not only to be a game winner, but to be a game changer. And I think that I've taken that attitude into my practice, into my life. What is winning? You know, what does it really mean? Are you really number one? You know, there's always going to be somebody better. There's always going to be somebody worse. And there's so much stress around, you know, comparing yourself with others. So in chiropractic, you know, again, back to, I compared myself with the greatest chiropractors too, the guys that were seeing hundreds of people. And I said, well, I must not be any good if I'm not seeing hundreds of people a day like some of these guys were. But I ended up seeing plenty of people. I helped a lot of people along the way. I know I changed a lot of lives. I know if the way I measured also my success was how many became chiropractors from patients that were seeing me. That was another measure. But not to always be measuring. My kids were an example. My son, who won't go a week without getting himself checked. My wife, who's been getting checked. When she first came to me, I was a student. And as a student chiropractor, she lived an hour away. And she won't mind me telling the story, right, honey? But if you're listening. But as it turns out.
Easy on the couch there.
Easy on the couch. Oh, I'm breaking the couch. I'm banging the couch.
Well, when the listeners listening, they're like, what's that thud? What's going on over there?
It's the drop table.
Yeah.
So my wife was an hour away, had never been to a chiropractor. And when we had her come and get checked at our clinic, she had a pretty serious scoliosis. And I said, wow, honey, you need a lot more care than I can give you once a week. I mean, plus I'm a student. I mean, I don't know how much I'm going to change your situation here. So I referred her to one of the best chiropractors in Ontario. She went 3 times a week on a recommended care program for 2 years recommended care to change her scoliosis. In Canada at the time, Medicare covers every man, woman, and child for a whole $10 a visit, and the patient's copay was $10. So she had a requirement for, I don't know, 100 and something visits. She worked in a bank at the time. She financed her care for $6,000. And I said, I'll marry that girl because she got it. She got the big idea. It absolutely changed her life. When one thing I want to add is a lot of people think of chiropractic as the musculoskeletal, because this topic today is self-care. For anybody who's listening who has internal issues, a lot of times people don't think of the autonomic nervous system and how adjustments can influence that. Well, I got to see that really early in my career. I left Toronto, hard as it was to leave my girlfriend at the time, to go to the U.S., and my first place to stop was Arizona and then ultimately California, like I said. But when we parted, my wife Heather got off, she wasn't my wife at the time, but she got off the pill and had no period for one full year. And it's called post-pill amenorrhea. The body gets to a certain place where it just, there was hormonal changes that took place. It was artificially, you know, producing a period. Anyway, no period for one whole year. She comes down to visit in Arizona. Now, again, my limited first year chiropractic skills, she stayed with me for a couple weeks. And then ultimately it was like, you know, she moved in and lived in Arizona with me. But daily care, her first period comes back after a month and was regular every month after that. So I knew the power of the adjustment, not because I did it. You know, we can't thump our chest and, you know, pat ourselves on the back. If we take the credit, we got to take the blame if it doesn't work. Because I didn't fix her. Her body fixed itself. And I think when we really get into the philosophy of self-care is the body knows how to take care of itself as long as there's no interference. And that's the chiropractic philosophy, you know, to a T, because we're just the tool, the instrument, the facilitators. We're not the fixers, the mechanic. And although mechanistic thinking is you go to get fixed. You know, you have a crick in your neck, right? You go to get it fixed. That's the symptom. That's the tip of the iceberg. But underneath, it's something else going on. And in our big term, we have, it's called subluxation. For anybody who's ever been to a principled chiropractor, they often use that term. Now, there's some people in the profession who try and get rid of that term because, you know, it's kind of a big word. You know, it's a $50 word. You know what I'm saying?
Can you just define subluxation?
Yeah, it's a bone out of place, irritating a nerve, causing a problem. But if you were going to really break it down as to what causes a subluxation, physical, chemical, emotional, if not spiritual. So there's going to be many different ways that the body gets knocked out of place. And what causes that may be different for everyone. That's why it may show up in the physical body. You know, you may have heard of a lady called Louise Hay. She's a metaphysicist. And she wrote a book called Heal Your Body. And she relates to the metaphysics of, it's Hay House, for anybody who's a listener that has really delved into, you know, metaphysics, and her philosophy was she believed that the mental aberration would ultimately show up in a physical. It's not hard to
I have a comprehend. Quick story to go into this.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I'm going to LA Fitness to do yoga and then to lift.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the order matters. I think it did in this instance. So instead of lifting and then stretching, right? So you're working the muscles and then stretch them out. I stretched and then lifted. I don't know what I did. I think it was the pull-ups or something. I threw my elbow out of place. And we're talking about the mental with the physical. And I know my elbow was like out of socket. And I also realized like there's nothing really surgery, cast. There's nothing you're going to do for an elbow out of socket except it's going to have to reset. And the mental was meditating. And I did this yoga nidra guided meditation with Liam Nielsen. It was like 40, 50 minutes on YouTube. And I did it morning and evening. And towards the end of the guided meditation, he would be like, okay, just really focus on an area that injured you. And because my elbow was out of socket, every time I'd really focus on this, you know, it was out of place. And it wasn't excruciating pain. It was very awkward. After like a week or two, I went out drinking and I was a little hungover, so I'm relaxed the next morning and I went to move my elbow and it popped back into place. And I just credit that not to the hangover or the booze, to the meditation. The meditation was, I was constantly morning and evening, way more than I've ever done, really focusing my energy in that one spot. And I truly think the mental focus every day, morning and evening, helped reset it on its own. Because there's a lot of injuries that, like, you see a doctor and it's like, well, you just need time. And maybe I expedited the process or not. At least it healed. And, you know, I actually played beach volleyball on my elbow that was thrown out of socket. So I think my pain threshold is a little too high. And as we have the train going on in the background.
Love it. See, I've seen a lot of people with the drinking elbow, by the way, over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Energy flows where attention goes. That's an old Hawaiian, you know, philosophy.
I like that one.
Energy flows where attention goes. But what chiropractic philosophy would say is it's above down and from the inside out. ADIO. Above down, inside out. Medicine, perhaps this is why medical doctors in general and chiropractors for many, many years butted heads. Because, you know, our philosophy is the opposite of medicine. Medicine is outside in, below and upwards. B.J. Palmer was the son of the founder of chiropractic, and he would say it's above down, inside out, or outside in, below upwards. And medicine was always taken internally, but it was in the opposite of chiropractic thinking. Chiropractic philosophy was following along the lines of many medical doctors over the years, but also Herring's law of cure, that things happen from the inside out, above down, inside out. So you're right. So many people through self-care have healed themselves, so to speak. But it's interesting because if you can heal yourself with meditation and yoga and exercise and good nutrition, well, why would you need chiropractic? Good question, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think I'll let you go ahead and answer that. I mean, I could come up with my own answer. Maybe if you're, you know, an athlete or you're not, and mental, I'll let you take it away since this is your expertise.
Well, yeah. So not everybody needs the same adjustment, nor could that even be reproduced, the same adjustment for the same, you know, even the same person. I see you today, Skylar, for an adjustment. You'll be different tomorrow anyway. And for me to deliver that exact same adjustment, it's going to be slightly different tomorrow. You're going to be slightly different tomorrow.
And just to attest to that for the listeners, I've seen you enough times where I feel like you've adjusted my neck a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it one time where you kind of pulled up to the right for the first time to kind of like elongate it, almost like elongate my spine or my vertebrae. So yeah, like I feel like it's a little different each time, and you know, it's not the same just in and out.
Right. So getting back to though not only the different adjustments, but the fact that everybody's a little different, and not everybody's frequency of care may be even the same. But as the leader of checking people, doctor means teacher, by the way. So as a teacher of health and nutrition and structure and function, and certainly most people agree that posture is good to have, a good thing. You can feel yourself, right? But you can't see yourself. That's one thing. Also, I can't even check myself. I can't check to see if I have a spinal nerve interference out of place because, by the way, we talked about this tip of the iceberg thing. The tip of the iceberg is the symptom. So if I feel perfect, I'm healthy. Is that true?
Maybe for that time and place, like,
or right maybe not. It maybe not. We know that something like cancer takes 17 years to maybe manifest. You know, just before we started the podcast, my wife's trainer just found out her mom has stage 4 cancer, and I was just like so sad to hear that. And those people can seem healthy up until that crisis or that sentence they oftentimes get. But what I'm saying is symptoms are not the best way to judge how healthy we are. We know this. We know this with dentistry. By the way, I kept saying my dad's a surgeon. He's a dental surgeon. He's a periodontist by training. But we all know that judging how healthy your teeth are is not by how they feel, right?
Yeah.
You could have a cavity that's brewing in there. How do you know? You get checked. So we don't say you go to a chiropractor when you're hurting. At least I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are chiropractors who are busy enough in whatever environment they're in that on back pain alone, they could have a hugely busy practice because they're efficient, they do a great job, and there's enough people with back pain. By the way, 80% of the population will at some point have back pain. Pretty much, if you can't help people with a good adjustment, you might want to revisit your philosophy, your technique, and all the. There's enough people out there that need our help. It's just we got to get out of our own way a lot of the time. And, you know, that's another topic for another day. But anyway, as for the self-care program, I would encourage anybody who's never been, and there still are people your age, my age, who have never been to a chiropractor. And the first thing to do is get checked. Most people will agree that posture is an important thing.
What do you think are some reasons why people are hesitant to go get checked or adjusted, as I might think?
Well, a number of reasons, and those reasons haven't changed since I graduated. You know, it's interesting, in 1984, when I graduated, we said, it won't be, have you ever been to a chiropractor? It'll be, who is your chiropractor? You know what? I'm still saying that, and I'm still asking that, but I still get a lot of those same answers. I've been, or I've never been, or I don't have anybody. It's like, I guess you could say, having a family dentist. You know, it could be like having a family vet, but and by the way, I have adjusted some animals. I don't tell everybody. Don't spread the word on the podcast. I'm not trying to get in trouble with any veterinarians.
We're too busy because then you can't paddleboard, golf, and play pickleball.
I enjoy animals. My dog is 15 years old. I've adjusted him many times.
Oh, cool.
He's a husky. He's and I've had two huskies that live to 15, 17 years old.
Try to paint the picture. Your husky's sitting down, standing. What does an adjustment for a dog look like?
Very non-force, because they, you know, unless you muzzle them, they're going to bite you. So we use a little instrument called the activator. It's spring-loaded. Some people have heard of it, and they've seen it and experienced it, but it's very gentle. And again, we're interested in the nervous system, although when I grab his tail and give it a little bit of a thrust, you do hear an audible release just like you do in anybody's spine. It's a phenomenon of joints. Now, so when I look at the person, you know, I'm examining someone from a structure function standpoint, and I also want to give them some feedback, maybe on muscle testing, range of motion, palpation. That's the meat and potatoes of our exam. Also, for them to see themselves is huge with a posture screening checkup. When they see that they got a shoulder that's 3 inches lower on one side and they never even thought about it, and they look in the mirror and they look at how they look, how their face looks, how their hair looks, how their teeth. But they're not looking at their posture. No. Now everybody's at a computer. They're on a phone. They got forward head posture. They got a head that's three times the weight of what it should be. You need to get that?
Quick pause here. There's some music going on.
We've got music.
Yeah, they're playing background music. It's
harmony. Harmony in our interview.
So it's going to get a little hotter in here. It's already kind of the sweat box.
Skyler, I told you I was a DJ before I was a DC.
Kind of like the sin bin in hockey. You know, yeah. You're sweating it out when you're into the blue zone.
All right. So we're back in the blue zone with no air because you just shut the window. Now we got the vacuum zone.
So I just wanted to kind of go back to, I forget where we were for a second, but I have a good question, I think.
We were talking about just checking people and why dogs, one would see a chiropractor before they hurt, or even if they hurt, what are we looking for different? And I've had yoga instructors, professional golfers. I've had professional volleyball players as patients. I've had so many different people and medical people get adjusted. You know, one, if you have a spine, we can help. You know, it sounds like an old adage. And, you know, one of the things is, and it's also a little bit cliche, where people say, well, I went, you know, you asked, what is the fear? I think that was you said. What is the fear? Why wouldn't they make it a part of that? Well, a couple reasons, I think, still to this day. Fear that it's going to hurt. They already hurt.
I think that's pretty common. Would you agree, like, if you never went, like, the classic, oh my God, he's going to, like, snap my neck. What's the worst, biggest fear?
Yeah, that's a big fear for people.
Yeah, your neck gets displaced forever. Would you agree that's kind of a common
that's a false evidence appearing real fear.
Yeah.
But what I would say, and I say false because certainly we've heard of cases where somebody had an issue. Here's the stats now. It's like 1 in 5 to 8 million adjustments could result in a serious issue. Now, in a serious issue, meaning a stroke or something like that. Well, in the general population, somebody's walking around. 1 out of 5 million people today will have a stroke. So what I'm saying is it's not very measurable. I'm sure there's some gorillas out there that are pretty rough adjusters. That's not me, by the way. And you, as you mature in practice, you realize less is more. There's less to do. You know, if you want to compare it to your golf game, Skyler, it's like when you first started, you were like trying to crush it off the tee. Now you're a little more relaxed. You let the, you know, the whip mm-hmm. of the club do the work. Mm-hmm. You know, the person's body does a lot of the work. You don't have to be aggressive. There are some techniques that require no thrust, no force, and make no snapping sounds at all. We call that the chicken adjustment. No, it's pretty easy to give someone an adjustment, and we adjust little babies. So my kids, from the time they were born, the moment they came out of you know, the womb, that they were adjusted and checked from birth. And more children, and 50% of our enrollment now is female. And I'd say some of the biggest pediatric practices are now female chiropractors who adjust not only women, but sometimes only pregnant moms as their specialty, or they have children as their specialty. They just want to have a pediatric practice. So nobody should be afraid to get an adjustment. Safest healthcare on the planet still to this day. We say safer than aspirin.
So have you had any negative incidents?
Yes. One or two. But I'll tell you, those incidents.
Can you describe those? Do you feel comfortable sharing that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What would a negative
in my first year
reaction be?
My first year of practice in Arizona, I had a very older senior gentleman whose rib, it was hardly any pressure at all, actually
cracked.
Made a little crack.
A little broken rib.
And he was like, oh, it felt good, but maybe it didn't feel good. You know, he was like one of those.
Yes.
Now,
bones
did
are
you
old.
Know that you can sneeze and break and crack a rib when you're a senior in osteoporosis?
Yeah.
And osteoporotic? I'll
give you a pass on that one. That's
well, yeah. I mean, but it was like my first year in practice. Yeah, he didn't sue me. Good. He was like, Doc, you've been taking such good care of me. I know it's going to heal, and there's no cast for that little rib anyway.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow. I mean, it was almost like that. But I'm just saying, I've had zero, thank goodness. Yeah. I haven't had anybody stroke out. I haven't had anybody have a herniated disc. In fact, we help people with herniated discs. Did you know that 60% of the population walks around with a herniated disc and has no symptoms at all? We can help those people, by the way, get aligned. And also the people who have herniated discs who may be destined for surgery if they don't do anything else, 85% of those can be turned around either with adjustments, decompression, or both.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to when you said your wife, I think a common thought might be for listeners and for myself, is there too much getting checked, too much adjustments? You mentioned your wife was doing something pretty hardcore.
A couple of years worth.
Yeah, like
corrective
every
care.
Day?
Three times a week.
So 3 times a week for a couple of years. Like, what does that program look like? To me, that's excessive.
Sounds excessive, right?
And I think for a lot of people listening, like, holy shit, like 3 times a week for 2 years. Like,
sure.
What, as opposed to like 1 time a week or once a month, like that's a lot. So what does that look like? That amount of corrections or checkups, and maybe some checkup is minute and small.
Well, keep in mind, everybody being an individual, and every care program should be customized to the individual's needs, both their ability to get to the office for that matter, and for what they can do at home or what they can't do at home. So she had a pretty serious scoliosis. And years later, we took x-rays and it improved quite a bit.
Describe like...
curvature of the spine.
Okay. And it was...
like an S curve. Yeah.
It was too curved.
Yeah. I mean, it was shaped like an S.
Okay.
So...
I had a friend who had metal rods put into her back.
Well, interesting.
I think it was so much to like straighten it out.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because it just reminded me that she was recommended that at some point they were talking about that when she was maybe 12, 13 years old. Well, luckily she met me when she was 21, 22. So she caught it at a time where it was still somewhat correctable. Now, again, the longer you have it, like a cavity, the longer it's going to take to correct, if it is possible to correct. And some things are going to be more permanent than others. Somebody has, go ahead.
So your wife goes for 2 years. What does like that consistent care actually look like? I mean, what's the adjustments? Can you kind of walk us through like a play-by-play announcer almost would? Like,
sure.
She goes in on Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah. Now, I was not the one attending to that schedule of care back in the day, but today that would look like someone comes in, they lay face down on the table. You check them for not only leg length, but maybe range of motion, palpation, and find out where, again, that subluxation is. Every chiropractor should be able to detect where the subluxation is. You can feel it, see it. There's a number of different ways to look at it. The other thing is x-rays. So if someone has a set of x-rays and they've had a recent set, a lot of times the adjustments are directed towards changing that structure. Sometimes it might be directed based on forward head posture. It might be, you know, a posture screening check. Our goal is to remove the interference so the body can heal itself. You know how many times I've seen someone with a shoulder lower, we adjust their cervical spine, and then after we look at them, they're level right immediately. Now, the muscles and everything are going to pull it back to where it's been for a long time, but that's where home care comes in. So I think a lot of people forget that it's not, you know, it's like the you with the coach. The lesson is the practice, but then the practice is really
the homework at
the
home.
Homework
too.
So mm-hmm. Just like a sport, you know, you go to a pro to get advice, but if you don't practice what you're told, you're really kind of wasting your time. Now, I'm not saying you're wasting your time getting adjusted, because we know it feels good. People love getting adjusted. I'd say 95% of the time people are like, oh, so much better. I mean, if you're in pain and you get adjusted, and again, not to adjust the pain, we say adjustments were designed to help you heal better instantly, not necessarily feel better instantly. And that's not just cliche. It's really a true adage that the purpose of the adjustment is really where people need to line up their expectations.
Yeah, my brain's kind of has something going on right now. It's kind of like my friend, I'm not super religious at all. And she was like, oh, well, things are going really well for you in life right now, it seems like. What a good time to start building your faith, as opposed to when you have that symptom or that tragedy or something happen to you that's not positive, that's super tragic, and then you turn to it. Like, wow. When things are going well, you still want to get adjusted. It's not like wait for something to be out and then like, oh, can you heal me now because I'm hurt? It's like stay on top of it. And that's kind of going on with our self-care topic. You need to be however you want to prioritize self-care. And we're going to touch on a couple different ways to have self-care, because there's a lot and there's more and more as we progress and learn about the body and the psyche of humans. And it was kind of like what you were just saying, like, yeah, life's good. Like if you're religious or not and you're listening, and it's hard for me because I have to like really do it and commit to trying to build my faith and my belief in a higher being, whether it's God or Yahweh, Jesus, whatever label, name you want to put it, any religion affiliation. It's like when things are going well, that's the time to stay with it. Stay disciplined. When things are going well and you're working out and you're running 6-7 miles and you're playing pickle, you're surfing, you're golfing, like stay on it. Keep getting adjusted. Don't wait till things hit the fan and then like need a bailout. And like, oh, can you save me with like this one adjustment? Yeah, well, I could pinpoint where you're sore and adjust, check you. And then it's up to you to kind of like stay with it and then kind of stay with it, come back. As opposed to like, okay, I saw him once, 5-6 months go by. Hey, like, man, I really hurt my neck again. And I'm sure you get some of those customers. And like, what's, I mean, this has got to be a common thought, and I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit because you're so passionate, and that's where I think we connect really well. Like, I've never had a lesson in a decade of doing lessons, or even like as a kid, I used to work with other kids, and I never was like, oh, that was, you know, you have some bad practices, like as a team practice, I coach teams. At the lesson, though, you're always like, oh, that was great swing, great pass, good, good. And you're just like, oh, that was a great, you know, release, or, oh, your body really liked that. Like, you're so passionate and positive. For the people who on the other side of that, like, and that's where I think you're a great doctor. You're just super into it. And for those at Wave, any coaches or any people in the San Diego area, you're working out of Del Mar right now, and you could find Dr. Howard Short on Instagram at, are you Howie from Cali?
Well, that's Instagram is Dr. Howie from Cali, but
Facebook
is Howard Michael Short, and also my website is myteamchiro.com, which probably needs a little attention right now, but that's okay. But you know,
user friendly,
and yeah, but and you know, teamcairo@gmail.com, all of that works. But you, to summarize what you said, it's like even in the faith area of life, if you pray before you get in trouble, maybe you won't get in trouble. Your chances might be less. I mean, if you get adjusted before you get sick, maybe you won't get sick as much. Mm-hmm. That does follow a really good. We're not really taught prevention very well. We're not even taught it well with our teeth. Like, who really does a thorough job of flossing? And, yeah, you know, well, the placards help, but they're not the best.
They're
you
good,
know,
though.
Yeah, they're good.
If you have them in the car and you're doing
gosh,
it
darn.
Whenever you're driving, I think that's better, better than most. Yeah.
That's right.
Shout out to my buddy Dom Petronglo, my big brother in the fraternity. Dom, the one takeaway, not the one, but probably the biggest takeaway, the kid would go, hey, you want a flosser? In college, and no one offers you a flosser. You know, no one knows, like, hey, you want to floss?
Yeah.
And he would always have the placards.
Yeah.
And he got me into flossing. And I've never had a cavity. I had some, you know, the spacers, braces, all that stuff. And then after that, teeth have been in great shape. And flossing's kind of that discipline. Like, you don't want to wait till your teeth are rotting. Oh, you should start flossing. Like, you floss, brush your teeth. And then you have a clear bill of health.
Good for you.
In your mouth.
Yeah.
So I just want to pump up Dom there and the man behind the placard.
Well, and give yourself a pat on the back. Not everybody is as good as you. You're fastidious about certain things, obviously, and it shows. I mean, your diet, your nutrition, which I'm sure you're going to try and give me a little nugget here sooner or later. I'm feeling it coming.
It's but like anyway. You want the nugget right now.
I know,
so
I do.
I'm going to give you the nugget. So,
all right, here it comes.
Because I think it's really important what you're preaching is from the inside out. And for me, like, the nutrition is exactly that. Like, I think that's square one. I mean, like, what grows in the ground, what was put on this earth, what grows from seeds, what we could see. I mean, what's really tasty is the stuff that grows in the ground as opposed to the stuff in the grocery store. When you go to the farmers markets or the local stands, like, the berries and the fruits are just exploding with flavor. So you mentioned, and on a, you know, negative side, that your wife's sibling has cancer?
No. Wife's trainer's mother.
Your wife's trainer's mother.
Yeah.
Lost in translation there. So your wife's trainer's mother has been diagnosed with cancer, and you said,
like,
you just
stage
found
four,
out.
Yeah. And
not to say that this is going to solve her cancer. I do think it's going to turn off her expression genes every time she eats plant-based foods. And I would be curious to, like, talk to her, like, how's her diet? I think cancer is, I'm not an expert. I think it's totally preventable. And I think what we're eating throughout our lives, when you get to 50, 60, 70, food, we're all born with cancer expression genes.
Correct.
And food, the food you eat turns those genes on and off every time you put something in your mouth. And just like for her, like, I'd be wondering, like, with your philosophy, healing from the inside out, what are you eating? And would you be willing to change if you're not eating that? And you know, that's kind of the growth mindset. And that's also the symptom tip of the iceberg we're talking about. That's like, okay, your back's up against the wall. You're about to be knocked out by this deadly disease or have to go through radiation or chemo or, you know, the whole process. That's when people are like, oh, I need to get adjusted.
Hmm.
As opposed to, like,
good point.
So the process is like, and for me, food and disease prevention is like a huge pillar to why to eat plant-based. You know, there's environment, there's animals, and then there's like health, fitness, and disease prevention. Cancer and, you know, heart disease, which is like the leading killer, like by far the leading killer in America. I feel like that could be 100% not totally obliterated and gone because of genes and stuff. I feel like those numbers could be reduced significantly. And like, I'd be interested to ask her or for you, like, hey, what are you eating? You should try this because your back's up against the wall. And I hear some miraculous stories with people who have all types of sicknesses, who can't even get out of chairs and walk, and their body's so inflamed. And it's like, you know, after 50, 60 years, 70 years of eating a certain way, your body's taking a toll. And it's so cool to see how quickly your body can change for the positive just through eating healthy foods. And like these stories that you see on documentaries, it's like, holy shit, I am sold. Like, not only is it good for the environment, it's good for me. And I could like reduce my chances of getting these really significant diseases. So yeah, I would just be curious, just for my own food thought, like what are you eating? And I think that's aligned with COVID. I think that's aligned with everything out there, and it's kind of disappointing the lack of attention like healthy eating gets. And you know, we need that's us healing from the inside out, and the self-care, when you're doing the eating well, and then you combine it with a consistent action of self-care, whether it's through chiropractic or yoga or meditation, acupuncture, something like getting your hair cut, you know, that stuff's a little more mental and spiritual for some people. And like, we need to connect square one. And I think there's just like healing from the inside out. Food is where it all starts. Yet we're kind of like, let's just push food to the side. Let's find other ways to make money, because farmers, they're not making money right now through like selling produce, and they're the beef industry, the dairy industry. My dad always says, follow the money. And the money is with the dairy industry, and the FDA is not, you know, really endorsing super healthy eating, because Western medicine, and hey, they're going to get sick. They're going to eat our product over a long period of time. We're going to make money, the dairy farmers, the meat, and the animal agriculture. And then when they get sick, they're going to come see us.
And got them coming and going.
And instead of like, hey, let's eliminate the sicknesses and all these diseases, let's eat really clean, and then include this practice and this practice, as opposed to, you know, having to pay an arm and a leg for insurance, and then you go to the doctor once every 2 years because you're healthy. And
what was it? The CEOs of the tobacco companies at one point were also the CEOs of the drug companies for the cancer drugs. So yeah, they got you coming and going, right?
Yeah, the studies, and the backing,
we see some of that happening now. I'm glad you touched on the nutrition, because it is so vital. And a lot of times we, even in chiropractic college, even that 100 and something hours that we talked about, that wasn't enough to really embrace a whole new lifestyle. I mean, let's face it. I was a college guy in chiropractic college, and I was anything but a great nutritional program. When I did graduate from chiropractic college and ended up starting my first office in La Jolla, I remember my wife and I going across the street. She was helping me at the time, and we were going to eat lunch on a lunch break. It was a busy day, and went across the street to UTC, and we were, you know, just getting the practice up and going. It was kind of stressful getting things organized, and you know, where's the next new patient coming? I mean, there was a lot of moving parts to getting this thing going, right? 20 years ago, I remember sitting down in the University Town Center Icecapades Arena, where they had a number of different choices for lunch, none of which were very healthy. And I, of course, chose French fries, and so did she. I mean, that was our lunch. Talk about a nice, balanced meal of basically carbs and oil. And she didn't even finish hers, so I had hers too. The next day, I wake up at 29 years old, and my lower right abdomen is significantly in pain. And I'm like, again, this was the tip of the iceberg. My nutrition was not perfect up until then. And certainly what is perfect looked like, but it wasn't great. And I was feeling rumblings weeks and months before that, but I had an appendicitis. So I first went to get adjusted, thinking that that would fix everything, and it didn't. My upper neck, my lower back. I mean, I got every adjustment from every chiropractor that I could. I said, I want to avoid the surgery. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to avoid the surgery. And then I had one chiropractor say, you haven't changed your philosophy just because you need first aid. Get your damn appendix out and be done with it. And then clean up your nutrition. And that's what I did. I mean, there are stories of people who have not gotten their appendix out and done antibiotics. I mean, there was a French doctor who did that once, and I guess he had some kind of results where people did not, they got infection. Your appendix, of course, has a purpose, contrary to what we were told growing up. But, you know, there was a lot of things that led me to some of the beliefs that I have now, and I've done well without an appendix, but I've definitely cleaned up my diet a lot. And most of it is plant-based.
Excellent.
Well, not all of it, but most of it.
Well, then that's easy. I mean, all right, so here's my plant-based challenge that I've been doing to the last few guests. And
bring it on.
I followed up with Andy, and I'm still waiting to hear back. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's doing it. Still waiting to hear back from you, Andy Latz. I hope you and your family are doing the plant-based challenge. The plant-based challenge is quite simple. So your family, or just you and Heather at home, one meal a week, one meal, is all plant-based. I feel like for you, that's a slam dunk. Yeah?
I'm in.
So dinner, lunch, doesn't matter. You're just not even processed meat, like vegan meat, not the Beyond stuff or Impossible stuff. Just, you know, salad, or obviously not just lettuce. Like, we put a lot on salads. You could do anything you want. You're in. That was easy.
I'm already, well, it's pretty easy because I'm already doing that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, that we do walk the talk more, I'd say, than most. But I want to say also that if I am going to have animal protein, I want to have an idea where it's coming from. This week, from a ranch not too far from here, about an hour away, we're splitting between four families. Now, again, my wife's a chef, so she does have a fair amount of people that still eat meat. But I know where the meat's from. I know that they've been grass-fed, and it's about the cleanest beef that I've ever seen. And if I'm going to have it, I want to have it as good as I can get it. And it's had no injections. A lot of people go to the store and say, hey, I'm having the organic grass-fed stuff. Well, if it gets to the store, it's had injections. Contrary to what they think, it has dyes and colorings and things like that in it. But if you look at this compared to the one in the store, it's dramatically different. It doesn't have those red colors to it. And I'm very thankful that I have friends that have led me to, you know, the rancher that does that, and local, I would encourage that. But, you know, it got me thinking when you were talking about the farmers and what leads us to do the work that we do and the careers that we do and the field that we do. And I think my ancestors, a lot were farmers, you know, and it's funny that we're talking about plants, but, you know, the chiropractor, we pull the weeds, you know, the adjustment is the weeds of the body. I mean, it's like the subluxation is, in a way, it's trapping the nerve roots a lot of the time where it manifests. And if you trace back, you know, it's funny, I have this poster at home. It got a lot of flack in the, I think, 90s, you know, even the Federal Trade Commission came after the chiropractor who put this particular poster out, but it showed the autopsies of all the people that died. It was called the Windsor autopsies. You can look it up. But they took all these 300 and something people who died of certain cancers, certain diseases, and they traced back from the organ systems to the spine. And guess what they found, Skylar?
It's all connected.
Subluxation. So not 50%, not 70%, not 80 or 90, in 100% of the cases where the person died of, let's say, colon cancer, they died of heart disease, they died of lung cancer, spleen, whatever the organ system was, 100% subluxation at the level of the spine where the... Now, when we put that poster up...
Wait, keep going.
At that level of the spine, there was interference.
And the
nervous system was involved with... Which makes sense because the nervous system controls everything in our body, right? The brain sends the message. It's like a safety pin loop, right? It's like an actual safety pin that gets broken. But if that safety pin's connected and above, down, inside, out, and that message is making it back from the brain above down to the organ systems and back up to the person, they're healthy. The body replaces itself with, you know, with new tissue. And this is the thing that I think we really need to get the message out, which... By the way, being here, whoever does hear this, hopefully they have a different perspective than, you know, I go to the chiropractor if I have a back pain or a whiplash, because that's what we encourage people to do. I mean, we were our own worst marketers for the years and years. You know, even before I was a chiropractor, chiropractors had the 8 danger signals or the 12 danger signals of why you should go. But the truth is that symptoms will get people into the office. There's enough people hurting out there. They say 1 out of every 7 people has a symptom right now. Maybe it's more, but at least 1 out of 7 has a symptom right now that they'd like to get rid of. Well, that's a motivating factor, right?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I'm a value-centered person. So like there's a lot of people who are like, wow, like whatever you charge, I don't know if that's worth my, it's only 10, 15 minutes. If you're value centered and you're really like, I want a, my bang for my buck in the self care, it's like, man, I could go buy that or that. So let's just compare a massage for an hour.
Oh, I love that one.
A massage for an hour for the same price as a 10 minute adjustment, a checkup.
Gotcha. Like, and by the way,
like there's got to be a ton of people who are like, that sounds great. And I'm sure it would be super beneficial for me. For that price, it only takes 10 minutes. It doesn't add up.
You know, I love that you brought this up because something happened to me recently that I'm getting a little feedback here, but something happened to me recently at home. It was a home issue, electrical issue. And again, the nervous system is that electrical system in the body. You know, the story of the guy who goes into the big plant, the whole plant's shut down. You know, and he walks in there. Everybody's checked this place out. They've had all the experts come in, numerous experts. And the one guy who comes in, he has a little screwdriver and he walks up to that one screw. You heard this, right? And he walks up to that one screw. He turns it. The whole plant turns back on. He goes, he was here 5 minutes. That'll be $5,000. They said $5,000. All you did was use that screwdriver for like 1 second. He goes, yeah, but I knew which one to turn. So let me translate that
to that one's definitely a great analogy for what we're talking about.
Well, wait, yeah. So you say 10, 15 minutes. Hey, I've had adjustments that take a minute to 2 minutes, if that. I've had adjustments that take longer because that person requires more than that. It's not the same every time. It's not. See, this is the thing. Medicine, it's the same pill you take 3 times a week or 3 times a day for the next 2 weeks until you know, it's not that. It's a different kind of treatment, and it's not even a treatment. You know the word treatment implies disease? Do I treat disease, by the way? I forgot to ask you. Do I treat disease?
Why don't you go ahead and, yeah.
Well, you'd think so, right? Because I mentioned all these things, right?
I mean, is depression, anxiety. Like,
those are all diseases and you know, I think what we do is we check for nerve interference, which we called subluxation. We don't treat disease. The chiropractor's job is not to treat disease. Now, for insurance purposes, if we're going to bill insurance, we have to label it with a diagnosis. Oftentimes that includes a subluxation, a symptom, or a disease. Yeah. So you could say because you're in the insurance business, if you have anybody with insurance, then you're in a way you're saying that you're not treating disease, but you are. But in our everyday practice, the philosophy of chiropractic is not to treat disease. It's to check a person, find where the subluxation is, adjust them, leave them alone until next time, and see if that's cleared the subluxation. One of the best visits to a chiropractor is when you don't get an adjustment. Somebody says, really? You came in and you didn't get an adjustment? Well, most of the time people have an issue. But if they do, that's what a great visit. You're getting better. You know, there's less to do. It's like if you went to get your braces adjusted and everything's straight, it's like, what are you going to do? Unstraighten them?
Yeah.
You know, but again, that's a simplistic analogy. But can I tell you about my experience with since you mentioned the fees, the experience with, that's a fear of people too, that they're going to have to pay forever. Well, let's look at it this way. What about all the things you don't get? Is there a value on that?
Sure,
right? You drink healthy water and there's a cost for that, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, but you don't have to, but you're willing to pay a certain amount for water because guess what? That water you believe by drinking a healthier water is going to be beneficial. So you're willing to.
Yeah, it's essential.
Some people throw thousands towards a filtration system and all that. Yeah, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, same thing with your nutrition. You're going to eat organic, right? You prefer organic, right?
Who doesn't? High quality as possible.
High quality. Do you have to? No.
No.
But you choose to based on not just priorities. The beliefs. You got some research behind it. You got some beliefs. But you're willing to spend a little bit more because it's going to be better in your lifestyle.
Body and my mind.
In your body, mind, lifestyle, choice. And, you know, I could bring up other ones, right? My situation that happened at home was I'm not an electrician when it comes to my home. And I was out, but I had my son at home and the electrician, we pretty much had a situation because I still have a home office that I have been seeing people out of that one day, the table that I say gives people rides, it, you know, drops down
I've seen it.
Yeah. So the table that gives people rides, it didn't turn on. Mm-hmm. In fact, it didn't. I always thought it was hydraulic. It didn't even need electricity, that it mm-hmm. would just go down at least, but it didn't do that because it's hooked up to electrical. I press the GFI switch, and now the table's back on, but something goes out in the kitchen. And that same outlet that went to the kitchen goes to the fridge. And now you got perishables, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's one thing leads to another. It was a comedy of errors, right? So my belief system was, after I couldn't press the GFI switch and turn it back on again, it must be the GFI. Well, obviously, I'm a better chiropractor than I am an electrician. That wasn't the problem. But I go out to Home Depot, I get a new GFI, I put a new one in, still not turning on. Now I feel it's out of my hands and I need the expert. It's out of self-care, and now I got to call the expert, right? So I call an electrician. Hard to find one these days. One guy's not the guy I normally would have come out. I'll see you in October. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is a busy business. So I find a guy who's going to come out that day. He comes out. He spends an hour checking for where the short in the little system could be. Finally, he says, do you have another breaker? I said, no, it's the only one I know. He goes to the breaker and he finds an additional breaker when they put solar power in the house. And it says kitchen. He flips it back on. $175 to flip the switch. Now, I look at that and say, you know what? What a great learning lesson. He knew which one to flip. And you know what? Yeah, maybe it doesn't happen that often. And maybe there's fear of people going on a regular basis. But I really would encourage people, what about all the things that you don't get? What about feeling great? What about sleeping great? What about digesting food better? Mm-hmm. What about, you're a pickleball player, what about performing at your optimum? Like you, well, yeah, you just did today. You did good today. What about you, the guy who wants to put 10 more yards on his golf drive? What about the person who just wants to just, you know, be at their best, you know, and not get COVID?
Yeah, and how about the people who want to avoid a potential doctor visit, or not even a visit, a stay?
Huge. You
know, that's kind of the food alignment,
yeah,
with self-care. Yeah. And in this case, chiropractic. Like, you're spending the money on good produce to hopefully avoid further damage down the road, which could be potential bills with cancer treatments, for example. Just kind of the same thing. You're spending money here and now, week to week, month to month, whatever it is, on visits to a chiropractor,
yeah,
to potentially feel better now and then avoid those bills that could be a lot more expensive.
Good point.
Down the road.
We used to have a saying back in the 80s. We said the bills from coming to us didn't cost, they paid, because it was true dividend. We said it was the true health insurance. The true health insurance is taking care of yourself. What a concept. But
totally.
But it's how we think of it, right? Mm-hmm. So you're right. There's people who have fear of it's going to hurt. They also have maybe still that scientific, is it, you know, is, I think there's less of that these days because we've proven ourselves in so many arenas. The Olympics, the professional golfers. And, you know, for example, a lot of people don't know, how many of those golfers get adjusted before they play.
I'm sure many athletes,
oh, absolutely,
have tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, based on their relationship or that connection, they probably have their guy come in or their lady come in, like with them, like with the travel
yes,
table, like to the practice facility or wherever it is. Like, hey, I need you there. It's, you know, I'm tight or whatever. Like, can you be here tomorrow?
Zach Johnson's dad is a chiropractor.
PGA pro, mm-hmm. Zach Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. Every NFL team has a chiropractor on the team,
yeah,
that takes care of them when they have problems, before they have problems, after they have problems. Lance Armstrong, whether you like him or not, he had a chiropractor before the race, if he injured himself during the race, and after the race for recuperation. So these histories of professionals and athletes have been proven already, that we don't need to prove it. It's already been proven. You know, it's not on trial for that. But I think finding the right person for you is really the message too, is that, you know, to be healthy, to be happy, and have fun. If, you know, you and I, we share a lot of those sports that we have a lot of fun. I think, people need to have more fun. They need to, you know, get healthy so that they can do the things they love to do.
Yeah, that's self-care too.
Yeah.
I mean, going into the ocean and surfing, if you live by the ocean, that is a form of self-care. I think self-care is like kind of the mind, body, spirit, taking care of your body as a temple, getting a little spiritual here. Self-care could be a haircut. And maybe you don't get a haircut because you haven't connected with someone who cuts your hair. And it's like that connection to other people with that practice of getting a haircut is super important. I don't want to like be, you know, some people don't care. Like, go in, get my haircut, get out, right? Whatever's cheap, doesn't matter who cuts it. And then some people are like, oh, like I like this person, so I'm going to pay a little more because it's an enjoyable
experience.
It's a part of my life. And for me, I'm experiencing that now where I met a guy who cuts hair and we connected. And it's like, I'll pay an extra $10 more as opposed to the Supercuts lowball price for someone who may have a fruitful relationship. And it's more comfortable for that 30 minutes or hour that I'm with them, as opposed to like always trying to, you know, manage my conversation and think about, oh, what should I say? And that stuff's draining on you. So you could go two ways and not really care about who cuts your hair, which is totally fine. Or you could, you know, find someone or not find someone. It could be hard to find someone who you enjoy talking to, cutting your hair, or, you know, cracking your neck and back. Not to be too like explicit. I hope the term cracking is okay, right?
Some people, that's all, they're not going to get off of that sound, right?
And I think that's totally fine because you hear it, and we're so audio with chiropractic. It's like you hear it and you feel that sense of value, where that connection to a hairstylist or a barber is super important. And it's the self-care. I mean, I haven't ever done acupuncture. And I want you to just kind of talk about acupuncture for a second, because I know you mentioned you went for last week or 2 weeks ago, and I've never tried it. And did you feel that kind of instant relief? And how was that different to like a massage or the chiropractic?
Very different. So a couple things also, since you did mention the hair, since my wife keeps reminding me that the salons are open, but I've never had my hair this long, even in high school. I don't even think it was this long, but it's
my great look.
It's my hair base challenged, I think is what it is.
You're kind of like the slick back Italian mafia man right now.
Well, I've got a lot of options,
but it's hot in here.
Bullets, man.
Yeah.
But my, my actual hairstylist, who I've known for many, many years, she's been a patient. She didn't have kids when I first met her. Now she has three kids and she loves getting adjusted. But she also said to me, long hair is actually easier to take care of. I said, wow, that's the first I heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Not in the summer.
Bald guy's going to like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Wait, what? Like, I have no hair. I don't have to take care of anything. I guess you got to put the sunscreen on and, you know.
I don't know. I still have hair. I'm thankful for that. You know,
got it.
My grandfather didn't. My on both sides. My dad still has a few feathers, but you know, it's interesting. When, you know, the guys that I grew up with, we used to take a picture every year to see whose hairline was receding the most.
Did you like acupuncture?
So my acupuncture answer is that I've had many occasions to try it. Now we have a gal. I'll give a little shout out to Andrea Beck. She's leasing space in our office on Saturdays. She also works in another chiropractic office in Sereno Valley, but great gal. And she's also a very excellent practitioner. So I have had experiences with acupuncture that it was kind of a mixed bag. I went for different reasons. They definitely seem to be more symptom oriented. Like you have a symptom, that's what you're going for. It's a problem. They don't say, hey, you should come back, you know, once a month for prevention.
Interesting.
I have rarely ever heard an acupuncturist make any recommendations because I don't know if it's just that's not in their wheelhouse, or they just believe that their purpose is just to remove suffering through needles and that's it. Or maybe they also add some cupping and some moxibustion, and they also add some herbs. Those are all huge practices that have been around for thousands of years. So when it comes to acupuncture, tons of respect for energy. If it changes the energy, the meridians have been around for many, many hundreds of years that they've worked with where you stimulate in the right place at the right time. Now, let me say, I've had excruciating back pain like I had just 2 weeks ago. I already had gotten a couple adjustments. So I went from a 9 out of 10 to an 8 out of 10. And I was already maybe at a 7 or 6 out of 10. So I knew things were on their way to getting better, but I went to see my person who's renting space for me at her other clinic. And I went face down 20 minutes. I had the needles put in lower lumbar area into the gluteal area as well. And she put a heat lamp that is supposed to infuse some minerals into the system. I literally got up and it was like the guy with the switch at my house with the GFI switch. I was like, what? The power's back on. And I felt nothing. I went and played golf that same day. Although she said, you might want to take it easy. So instead of playing 18 holes, I played 13. But I got to tell you, it was truly miraculous. I was like the person who had 25 years of headaches that's been to us. They get adjusted and they're like, oh my gosh, it's the first day I never had a headache. Can we predict that? No. Is that our... Yeah, we'd love to see those results. I love seeing that in myself, but my expectation was that's not what it would be. And so I will say there's a huge value in acupuncture. It's drug-free. There was nothing invasive about it, and it got me through a storm. Should I go back? I probably will. Not only when I'm in pain, and maybe I'll consider doing it once a month or twice a month. I mean, there are people who come to me only once a month, not a lot. Some are twice a month. More people do that. I have many people who consider their maintenance adjustment a weekly thing.
What's your recommendation adjustment schedule for someone 20 years old to 45, 50 years old who's fairly healthy?
Again, so
who's active?
Still so individual. Yeah. So you have to check them first. I mean, that same person, healthy and active, might have a forward head posture that, gosh darn, by the time they're 60, they'll have an arthritic neck. You know, so
it's like
so,
everyone's different. So every case and is its
as
own.
It should be.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I mean, it is an.
We're all wired differently. Personal, we're all physically put together a little differently.
Which is why I doubt it will ever be something that can be automated.
Yeah.
You know, so there needs to be more of us. I'm also proud to say, as if I didn't hold him capable, but my son, I never encouraged either of my kids to become chiropractors or to what they should pursue in their lives. My son had already had a successful videography business for real estate going on here in San Diego. In fact, he lived right down the street from you here for a while. And they were getting some serious traction. At age 22, they were in the black and their business was growing leaps and bounds. It was really impressive to see him come right out of college and actually halfway through college. He knew he wasn't cut out for finishing a 4-year degree because he didn't have an aligned purpose for his degree. But he got a business going so quickly and so well. I was so impressed. And, you know, he decided that he didn't want to be behind a computer screen for the rest of his life making videos. So he searched his soul and his heart and he said, what am I really passionate about? And he went back to his things that led him to his soccer career in college, and he had gotten a scholarship and he played excellent rookie of the year. And if he pursued it, and he has many, many friends that have pursued it beyond college, and a couple have turned pro. And he says, I was every bit as good. I just didn't want to do that work for the next 10 years. And that would be it. And I said, I understand. It's very admirable. As a kid, he thought he might be a pro soccer player, but he's decided to go on to chiropractic college. So I'm really excited for him, but at the same time, it's still not easy. There's never going to be a time in our lifetime where there's too many chiropractors, in my opinion, for the people that need it. Mm-hmm. So incidentally, I think there's about 50 to 60,000 chiropractors practicing in the United States. And in California, I think we have about 10,000. And of the 10,000, 75% of them live within 15 miles of the beach. Mm-hmm. So we choose a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's not anything to be ashamed of. That's something to be proud of. We choose a lifestyle to live. And I think most of us, the majority of us, live a chiropractic lifestyle where we not just eat, sleep, and breathe it, but we actually make an effort, you know, to incorporate other healthy things with the lifestyle.
Okay, we're going to play a little game here, and then I'm going to get we'll wrap it up a little. Again, you've been listening to Into the Blue Zone. I'm here live with Dr. Howard Short. Howard, we're going to popcorn, which means we go back and forth, ways to self-care. So we're going to go until we run out. And if someone forgets one, just because our topic's self-care and there's so much out there. And some people really neglect self-care. Some people are work, 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 work.
Is this like Faraday on the golf thing?
Yeah, it's whatever. It's Skyman on the podcast.
Skyman.
Yeah, it's just kind of a fun game I just thought about because there's so many ways and I'm sure we both think a little differently, even though we're interested in a lot of the same things. Let's just rattle off ways to self-care. besides like explaining and going in depth of each one.
So we're not trying to win this game. This is a game that we're playing, but we're not trying to win. Because you're very competitive.
I'm not competing right now. I barely competed earlier a little bit. We're teaching, right? We're both teachers. So everyone's like, let's give a little wave. Thank you. I wish people could like text us questions or throw down questions on Instagram. I don't have my phone. My phone is on the stand there to film. So
It's blowing up. I can see it happening right there. There's all kinds of questions.
I'm sure there's questions coming in that I'm totally neglecting. So just trying to do my best to stay on topic here because I know I could go away and be a little loose with the topic. And we're going to have popcorn self-care. So I'll go massage and we'll go a pro and a con. It feels good. A pro and a con. I just threw that in there. Feels good. And the con could be, it could be very awkward. And also your face is stuffed in to this hole. And if it doesn't fit well, it could be really uncomfortable. All right. What's another one?
So a pro and a con for massage?
No. Another way to self-care.
Oh, another way to self-care. Good. I'm glad you did the massage thing.
Self-care, because there's so many different ways. I think we should just kind of list them.
Okay. I like this game.
You catching the game?
I like this game. I'm a little slow to, I'm a slow adapter when it comes to.
All right, your turn.
Okay. All right. So how about breathing?
Wow. What a novel.
Not breathing is bad. No.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So incorrect breathing. And I think you've read books on the subject.
I'm reading James Nestor's, Art of Breathwork or Breathe. I think it is.
The yellow title.
Yeah. Like 3/4 of the way done.
And correct breathing or even Wim Hof breathing. Oh my gosh. As COVID hit, that was my thing. So I'll tell you that I've continued to do that pretty darn regular. And it's been a game changer for me. Your job. Popcorn. Okay. Popping it back to you.
I'm going to go, since we live by the beach, an ocean dip. Just going into the ocean. The pro is it's nature's natural neti pot. And the con is shrinkage. We all get a little small in the ocean. It's typically cold out here.
Oh, yeah, it's true. So, a walk. Since you mentioned the beach. You know how many people, now that I'm in Del Mar, these people, they haven't been to the beach in 5 years, you know, and they live here. So the encouragement, walking is actually an exercise program. And so I would say the con of that is I don't see any. I don't see any cons to walking.
You might step in dog shit. You never know.
A long walk on a short pier. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yoga. Pro, you're going to feel more limber, flexible. Con, you might get judged.
Okay.
You're shaking in your boots. Your turn. Pressure's on.
Intermittent fasting. The pro, you reset your metabolism, mental, physical, blood sugar stabilization, fat burning. Your system gets a break. And con, sucks to be hungry sometimes.
Let's go self-care, cupping. I know nothing about it.
You can cup yourself.
Have you ever done cupping?
Yeah, but I don't do it myself.
Can you just kind of explain real quick? Because I want to know, and I know a lot of my athletes are doing it. What's the benefits of cupping?
My perception of cupping is that it brings blood flow and circulation to the area that gets cupped. So if you have an area that's tight and tense, cupping has been, it goes along with acupuncture. A lot of times, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Meditation. Benefits, stress relief, calming the system, detriment, not doing it, following through with it, can't work the app.
I think for all our female listeners, a mani-pedi. I think I've gotten one. I went with a girl who I was dating and seeing at the time, and we went, and I've gone one time. And again, like value. Pro, like very relaxing. You're in a comfortable chair. You kind of just sit back and, you know, they just kind of clean your nails, your toenails, a little foot massage. Your feet are in this like tub of water that's hot and it's got jets. Con, it's pretty awkward. I don't really feel comfortable like just sitting there. And I mean, I don't want to be on my phone. I want to interact a little bit with whoever's touching my feet, as opposed to like not being able to speak English most of the time to the person that's, you know, massaging your body.
I acquired a new technology in my office recently. It's called the Beamer. So I'm going to say that's part of self-care. You can administer it yourself. The benefits are improved circulation. It's helped me not only with sports and recovery. Anybody wants to learn about it, I actually have a back office, howard.beamer.com, something like that. Anyway, the downside is you got to pay for it. It's a machine that does cost, but I think the benefits will outweigh the costs in the long run, and it's used by a lot of professional athletes, and I think it's an amazing tool.
My brain is getting a little fried here, so let's go a couple more. I'll go one more, and you go one more. I'm going to go a little more mental, and journaling or reading. I know it's like hard for a lot of people to just sit still and express their thoughts to no one writing things down, and also like reading and trying to learn and being, you know, having an open mind. And sometimes books aren't very exciting. You know, you get in a bad book and do you like close the book or do you finish the book? So I think pro would be like learning about yourself or learning whatever you're reading, and con would be it's not social. So if you're antisocial, it might be good for you. If you want to be with people, it's figuring out more about yourself.
Prayer. There's power in prayer. Even some of the early chiropractors talked about that. And so I would say there are no downsides to praying unless you have an expectation. But it seems like that would be a healthy practice. And so pray, but move your feet. Let's just say that.
I like that one. Not without expectation. And just to wrap it up, eating raw, whole plant-based foods as often as you can. I mean, that's square one, starting from the inside out. It could change so many things, whether it's your mood, your energy levels, your physique, your skin, your disease prevention, and your genes. I'm going to throw one more in there. Just overall, eat as much raw foods as possible. You can never overeat bananas, berries, and avocados, and olives, and tomatoes. It's all good for you. So if someone says tomatoes are awful for you, just ignore what they say and keep eating tomatoes. Okay, last question, Howard. Thank you so much for joining the show. Again, everyone, you've been listening to Into the Blue Zone. A lot of times, me and the coaches like to say, it's not how you start a practice, it's how you end it. Because when the player leaves the gym, they're going to remember how you ended practice a lot more so than how we started. So we've gone on for a pretty long time. I would be really curious to see who joined us on the Instagram Live for the whole hour and a half.
Me too.
So my last question here is, what's a key to life? Like one takeaway, feel free to elaborate.
To be happy, to be healthy, and to have fun. One of my very good friends, Dr. Gary Ratzen, he was a medical doctor. He is a medical doctor that was accepted to chiropractic college and medicine at the same time, concurrently, back in the day. And of course, his family and his peer-pressured friends said to him, well, of course you want to be a medical doctor. So Dr. Gary, who I am still in touch with today, I even spoke to him today. He's a friend that I've known since we were in nursery school, 4 years old, preschool. And he would say to me, and he's still back in Winnipeg, Canada. So, you know, very different attitude towards life there, I think, overall. And he says to me, you're the king of fun. I said, well, I don't know about the king of fun, but I like to have fun. So if I could sum it up, I'd say to be happy, to be healthy, and to have fun.
Enjoy life. Have fun.
Enjoy life.
If you're enjoying life, you're probably happy and healthy. If you're having fun in life, you're probably doing the other two things. However you're doing them, whatever makes you happy and healthy, it's everyone's different, right?
We and it might be fun might be different for anybody, right?
Sure.
You know, but
yeah,
we share a lot of the things that we enjoy having fun together with. So
yeah, I mean, I used to love going to the racetrack to watch the horses race, and you know, things changed. Now I don't go to the horse track. Our friends were going to the races, and I was like, man, I used to enjoy doing that.
Off to the races.
And things change. Your perspective changes.
Certainly.
I will go with one because I've been building on this, and I'm trying not to repeat one. I know the couple that I said, like, wake up with the sun, wake up naturally, as opposed to waking up to an alarm, if you can. Making the bed. You know, it's the only place you sleep. You got to start square one type deal. I'm going to go off of Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights book and podcast, setting up green lights, being proactive. I think being proactive. So something here, just the most simplistic, silly example to end on here. After you do your laundry and you put your socks together, do you turn your socks inside out or do you leave them the opposite way? Because you take them off, right? Silly example. Like, are you taking your socks off and putting them in the hamper the wrong way so you have to flip them around? Or are you putting them in the right way so when you wash them, they're coming right out? I mean, I'm just the most ridiculous example. I think being proactive, though, and getting ahead of things. And, you know, some things you could go with the flow, as a lot of people in California say, and just, yeah, we'll see. I think being proactive, though, with stuff you care about, and, you know, if it's having a clean space and having like clean thoughts and, you know, no loose ends and being organized, being proactive goes a long way.
You're a huge example of that, especially looking around your place here. But, you know, it reminds me of Disney, who said clean, clean windows. You know, nobody sees him as a failure. But yeah, I mean, truly proactive is not something that people are that good at generally. They have to incorporate it. What do they say? 30 days to change a habit? And maybe, yeah, some 90, of those things we popcorned about,
depending how bad
new habits.
Yeah.
Maybe one person here will take on a new habit from our talk today. I hope that is a game changer for them. But yeah, what could you do today that would change your life, you know, in 30 days from now if you really incorporated a new habit? And
meeting a chiropractor,
yeah,
and eating plant-based.
Awesome.
I think we both agree that those two things, being proactive, doing that, will make you feel good.
Getting to the blue zone is one thing. Staying there is another thing, right?
Yeah. You want to get into the blue zone and then you want to stay there.
Yeah.
And with football around the corner, hopefully the Eagles get into the red zone and score a lot of touchdowns. Howard, thanks so much for listening again.
Truly a pleasure.
You've been listening to Into the Blue Zone, a sponsorship-free, unedited, unscripted podcast. You could listen to it on Spotify or Anchor. And if you like the show, feel free to Venmo a donation to keep it sponsorship free, because commercials suck. The Venmo is at Skylar Heyman. So Howard, thanks so much. I hope you're not too sweaty. We could hit the outside shower again to cool off, or better yet, go in the ocean.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay. Take care. Thank you, guys.
Glad to be here.